Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it does guide us in all sorts of different things in life. And as we continue to look at parenting, we pray that you would guide us through your word, that we might really see how to do the job you've given us in the way that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we looked at the role of parents in bringing up their children. And so we looked in, I'll read the verse from Ephesians first. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So that it gives parents the role of training and instructing them and teaching them about God and his ways. And Deuteronomy says something fairly similar. It says, "These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And I suggested last week that that's sort of an on-the-road sort of teaching. You know, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you're lying down or getting up, you know, all sorts of different situations in life and throughout the day, that we can just bring God into them for teaching our children. So there's those sort of throughout the day sorts of occasions, but there's also the need to actually set a time and spend some time introducing them to the Bible and to prayer, so actually sort of helping them in that way. And just to think about that, what I've done, I had three couples who talked about the Bible and prayer and what they did with their children. And as you talk to them, you can see it's not easy, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But they're trying to do that sort of thing. Life gets busy, things go wrong, kids get sick or they muck up, and various things happen that can make it hard. Sometimes, you know, it sort of, everything gets on top of us and it doesn't happen for a while, but the important thing is to get back to it if that does happen. So let's have a look at it. So firstly, Bible reading. As we think of Timothy, and Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Timothy was faithfully brought up by his mother and his grandmother. We read that in chapter 1 of the letter. And Paul says there, from infancy, from a very young age, he has known the Scriptures. So his mother, and perhaps his grandmother too, have read the Bible to him. They've taught him. And Paul goes on to show that is a very important foundation for Timothy's life. So he goes on to say, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness," all those things that a parent needs to do, "so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible will equip our children to live God's way and to serve him. Now, if you are parents, what have you planned for dinner tonight to feed your children? You probably think of a balanced diet somewhere along the line. You think of, you know, what's good for them, what may not be so good for them. So giving them the right sort of food to make them healthy and strong. And I hope you don't take them out to Macca's every night, you know, occasionally, but you want them to grow up to be healthy. You also make sure they'll go to school tomorrow morning if they're not already on holidays. Some of them, I think, have snuck out and got an early holiday. So you'll get them up to school each day of the week when they're not on holidays. So they'll be equipped for a meaningful life of work. But we need to equip them spiritually also. They need to be spiritually healthy and equipped to serve God. And so they need a regular diet of God's word, a good balanced diet. And so do we. I mean, it's not just something, these aren't things just for our children. But they do need it as they grow up. So it's good to build that time to actually spend reading the Bible with them into the daily routine. You have all sorts of routines in life, for meals, for school, bedtime, brushing teeth, all those sorts of things. And routines are very helpful. You don't have to decide, will we do it or won't we do it, or will we do it now or will we do it later on and things. You know, it saves all that decision-making throughout the day. If you've got a routine, you just do it. It becomes natural. So how do we feed them the Word of God? In your handout this morning, you will have got a sheet that looks like that. You won't read the one on the screen, but you can read the one you've been given. The bigger one looks like that. And what it has is the different ages of children, and then it's got how they're developing, what their life focus is, and the sorts of emotional issues that are going on when they're very young. They're asked, can I trust the world? And then, is it okay to be me? They're developing an identity. And then they're thinking what they can do, what are their competencies. And, you know, there's various issues that they're going through, and it's good to know those things. And then in terms of bringing them up, they'll have different needs in terms of how you can help them spiritually through that stage. And then the last column, there's the different sort of resources that we're recommending. They're only a selection, but they're out on the book, the table in the foyer if you want to have a look at them. And we had the Jesus Storybook Bible introduced for us at the beginning of the service today. So it's helpful to know what is needed at each stage as a child grows up. And at first, as a baby, as parents provide love and consistent care, the child is learning to trust just by the way in which the parents care for them. If parents reliably provide that love and security and care, it lays a foundation for a later trust in God. They've learnt what trust is all about. And so they can come to trust God as a loving, dependable father. It's almost as if the parent is God to their small child. They're representing the sort of love and dependency the child can have on God himself. Then as they get older, they need that care still. They don't stop caring for them, but they'll start to learn through stories. They can't think in abstract sort of ideas till later. So teaching theology in sort of adult terms won't make much sense to them. Concepts such as sin and justification and salvation are sort of big concepts that they won't get that yet. But stories, particularly stories about Jesus, they can identify with a person and they're important. So start off with stories about Jesus. Some of the Old Testament stories have ideas that will be beyond them. It's okay to introduce them to those stories, but realise that there's some the teaching of those stories that they just won't get at that stage. So stories. And so a good storybook Bible is a good place to start. Or little illustrated Bibles like we used last week, the Lost Sheep series. So there are various things that you can use, and different ones are appropriate for different ages. And so have a look at that display. As they get older, they'll start to understand that some things are real and some things are make-believe. And they'll start to reject Santa and the Easter Bunny and those sorts of things. And so they have to work out whether the Bible is true and whether miracles are true and those sorts of things. And it's important to help them through that stage, provide the help that they need and be ready to answer their questions. Now, you don't always know the answer to the questions, and it's okay to say, look, I don't know, but then go and find out and come back and tell them, or take them with you to go and talk to someone who might know the answer. So there's that guide there. Now, of course, that guide doesn't come out of the Bible. Those stages are things that we've worked out by observing children, not by reading the Bible. So don't take that as Bible truth, but it's just trying to show how we apply what the Bible says about teaching our children to the different ages. And eventually, children will need to be reading the Bible for themselves. And so you need to lead them on and encourage them in doing that. My mum used to read the Bible to me when I was very little. I can remember myself and my slightly younger brother would sit on the bed together and she'd open the Bible stories and read them to us. So when I became interested in God at about the age of 13, it just seemed to be a natural thing to do, to pick up a Bible and to start reading it and find a Bible reading plan to guide me in my Bible reading. It was something that just seemed to be the right thing to do because I've been brought up that way. It's a great start to give our children, to lay that foundation for them. So there's Bible reading, and then there's prayer. I had a friend who is great at taking photos, and he takes some really magnificent photos, and he's won competitions in photography and sold some of his works. And we'd go out taking photos together sometimes, and we'd go out in the morning or in the evening and capture, you know, the right light and that sort of thing. Now, we'd be standing sort of side by side taking a picture of the same thing. His would look tremendous. Mine would look very ordinary. And so I started to, you know, to wonder, what was he doing? And I asked him, you know, tell me some of what you're doing. And he did. So I gradually learned a little bit more about taking photos. What do you think it was like for Jesus' disciples? They travelled around with Jesus. Just picture it. I mean, there they were. They saw him doing miracles, you know, healing someone, opening someone's eyes, that sort of thing. They heard him preach to great crowds. You know, they heard him teach in ways which really captivated people, words which put the truth in simple terms so that people could grasp it. They saw people turning, people coming to follow Jesus and giving their lives to him. But they also saw his private life. They knew that he spent time with his Heavenly Father in prayer. At times he'd get up way before dawn and go out by himself and pray. Other times he'd go away onto a mountain and pray by himself. So they knew that he prayed, and they could see it was something special for him, that even Jesus, as the Son of God, needed to talk to his Heavenly Father. And so they wanted to pray too. And so in our reading from Luke, we read, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus does that. He teaches them the Lord's Prayer. So you see what he's doing? He's teaching them the sort of things that God wants us to pray for. We naturally pray for things that we want to pray for. We pray for things for ourselves, you know, we're in trouble or something like that. It comes naturally to pray for those things. But we need to pray for other things too. And so that's what Jesus teaches here in the Lord's Prayer. And we need to teach our children the same thing. The sorts of things to pray for other people, to pray for God's work. So Jesus teaches them those things. And then he goes on to teach them about trusting in God, about trusting God as a Heavenly Father. And so he says in verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So rather sort of startling illustrations, aren't they? A scorpion or a snake. God gives good gifts, and we need to help our children to trust God, to do those things as a personal Heavenly Father. He also teaches them the promises that God gives about prayer. So he goes on in verse 9. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So the disciples had Jesus' example. We can teach our children by our own example of prayerfulness. The disciples had Jesus' instruction, and we can instruct our children what to pray for and how to trust God in our prayers. We can teach them to pray, you know, in their own words. They don't need special words. And not just to pray for themselves, but to pray for other people as well, to pray for God's work in the world. And teach them to trust God by perhaps reminding them of answers to prayer. You know, you remember last week you prayed for that? Well, yeah, here God's done it. And encourage them in that way. So we can pray with our children as we read the Bible with them. We can pray at mealtimes. It's important to say grace, you know, giving thanks for our food and other things as we show that everything we have comes from God. We need to be really impressing that on our children. When you travel, one of the couples in the interview, which you didn't get to see, they talked about praying as they went off on a car journey somewhere, that God would keep them safe. And then pray for other times of need, you know, sickness or those sorts of things. And remembering, you know, it's a whole range of things where we can teach them to pray. So, different times during the day, but important to have that special time. One other thing. What about conversion, converting our children? We want our children to be saved, don't we? We want them to go to heaven. What do we have to do to get them saved? Well, the first thing is the Bible doesn't say much about children coming to faith. It really only talks about adult conversions. It talks in terms of adult concepts of faith and commitment. But what the Bible does say is that God works in families. The covenant he made was with Abraham and his children. God worked in that family. And we see Jesus' attitude to children, probably the children of believers here. It says people were bringing children, their little children, to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." See, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God belongs to these children. They are children of God. Now, children have a developing understanding of what faith and salvation means. It'll take them a while to really understand that. They don't have an adult understanding when they're small. Certainly, they can have a childlike trust in Jesus, though. They can come to trust him. And so what we need to do is to treat them as God's children. We don't treat them as like little pagans until they've sort of come to make some commitment in some sort of adult way. Tell them that they can talk to God as a heavenly father, that God will hear them, that God loves them. Treat them as God's children. And then we do have to be careful not to put pressure on them to pray some prayer of commitment or conversion. Now, they might do that. They might say the prayer that you want them to pray, but they need to do that just to please you rather than because they really understand what they're doing. So simply teach them to trust in Jesus, not to say some prayer which is like a defining moment in their lives. So help them to come to trust Jesus in that way. Well, how does all this seem? Both teaching them, praying with them, reading the Bible, helping them to trust Jesus. Does it all seem too much? Well, just think of what is the next step for you. Maybe it is to buy a children's Bible, a story Bible. Maybe it is to plan a time, work out a time to actually spend with them. So do what you can. Make a start. And then after the school holidays, if you can, do the parenting course. It'll go beyond by, you know, just what the Bible says. It'll look at very practical things about all sorts of issues to do with parenting. So if you've got time and are able to do that, I really encourage you to do that. If you can get your own children minded during that time, that would be great. We will have some limited child minding, and if you can put sort of how many children and their ages perhaps on the sheet, then we'll know that we need to provide people to help with that. So let's just pray, and let's just, as a moment of quiet, think, what do we need to do, both for ourselves and our own Bible reading and prayer, and then for our children? Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that it is all we need to draw us closer to you and to equip us to serve you. Thank you for prayer, that we can talk to you, that you are a heavenly Father. Father, we pray that you would help us to help our children to know those things too. Lord, help us just when it gets difficult, when we're not quite sure how to do it. Lord, help us to see the importance and then to do whatever we need to do, to take the next step. We just pray for your help, that your Spirit would surround us and that Spirit might be at work in our children, bringing them to know you and to love you and to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.